You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 25 October, 2 months to Christmas. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Petri Reidenhuis, we're going to touch on Brent. It seems to be slowing a bit and maybe some opportunity in Aspen. 10X had their annual retirement report. I want to dig into that with CEO Toby van Heerden. And then talking with Alan Gray on farm emerging companies and frontier markets. There's a small little trick in terms of the ability to make generics that are being some companies are taking advantage of. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Aspen launches big Eastern Cape General Anesthetic production lines. It's part of a 3.4 billion rand investment into the province. And from CNBC, Goldman Sachs says investing in China is more challenging, but the country is not uninvestable. Morning markets from Friday, the US was red, S&P off 0.1%, and NASDAQ down 0.9%. Asia is mixed. We got Sydney up 0.5% and Tokyo down 0.5%. Commodities mixed overnight. Gold running strong, $1,798. Brent, $86.30 a barrel. Rand, $14.80. And top 40, looking for a slight red open, 50 points down. That's just under 0.1%. That is 10 cents of trading, down 0.7% in Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Petri Reidenhuis from Herenia Capital Advisors. Petri, appreciate the early morning. Brent oil, so West Texas, but you were looking at Brent oil, being in an absolute tear recently, but you're thinking that that momentum is starting to fade. Maybe not a reversal in a minute, but certainly things are slowing down.
Yeah, I think, good morning, thank you. I think the rate of change is potentially slowing. Just looking at sort of momentum oscillators and that type of thing, it feels as though, you know, we've had a very, very strong run. We've been eyeing sort of the 68 to 67 level for some time. And I mean, we're pretty much there, right? So it feels as though, at least in the very short term, that this move might be over a little bit. We also have some production news on the horizon coming out of OPEC Plus and that kind of thing. So it almost feels as if the market's now reached a point where it needs a fresh catalyst to get moving again. And whether, you know, which direction that's going to take, we're relatively unsure of until we see what the catalyst is, right? Mm-hmm. From a technical charting perspective, though, I mean, we can basically call it target reached from here, right?
We've had a decent... You were looking for around that 86 trip level.
Yeah. Well, 86.71 to be very precise. We didn't quite make it to that exact level, but I mean, this is pretty much close enough, right? So I see it is up again today. I mean, the bias is still bullish, still quite a strong outlook for the energy sector as a whole. But in the very short term, is the big strong move over, potentially for now. You know, if there is a little bit of weakness, if we can get a 5 or 10% pullback, that could probably be something worth buying. But for now, you know, patience is the key.
Okay, and so buying the pullback, so it's not suddenly collapsing in a heap. Let's move to some local stocks. Aspen, that stock hit, what, almost north of 280 sort of late September, early October. It's been consolidating, what, just below 250 or so, and looking like maybe it's getting ready to break up higher again.
Yeah, so it's been, it sort of overshot our initial target. I think we've been talking about the Aspen trade for a long time now. but it's overshot the initial target by quite a margin. Then it has been over the last, well, it pulled back and over the last almost 2 weeks now has been sort of bouncing between 240, 250, 260 in that little sort of range that it's been trading. I think what happens here is we probably see another leg up. It's now consolidated. It looks like it's breaking higher again. Momentum is shifting towards the upside. And we also had a bunch of catalysts on it last week. We saw them selling some of their portfolio of drugs that they make. They're doing a transaction there, using that money to pay down debt, and also have still a 7-year production agreement to keep manufacturing the drug that they're selling. So that, I think, is a very positive catalyst for them. We saw the stock reacting positively to that on Friday. It didn't actually close very, very strongly on Friday. It didn't close on the highs. But from a technical charting perspective, with a little bit of a catalyst, you know, fundamental backwind, if you will, it looks like a good setup.
And quick last one, S&P hit the new highs, closed all-time high on Thursday, didn't on Friday, but did make a new all-time intraday high. But do you think perhaps that's what we're going to see, a bit of a pullback over the next couple of days, maybe the week?
Well, I wouldn't be too surprised. Although I wouldn't hang my hat on it either, right? I think what we've seen is we've just sort of looking at Friday's, you know, price action. It just felt a little bit indecisive. We're seeing sort of the longer term momentum indicators, not longer term, but sort of medium term momentum indicators, kind of slowing down and topping out, and not really knowing which way to go. What is a little concerning is there was some weakness in the NASDAQ on Friday, which, and also interestingly, NASDAQ did not make a new high. Dow did, S&P did, and the NASDAQ did not, right? What did look really good, though, was the Russell 2000, not the Russell 2000, the Dow Jones Transportation Index. That closed really strong on Friday. But also, it did not make a new high like the S&P and the Dow Jones did. So we've got a little bit of divergence amongst the primary equity indices in the US. So it does feel a little bit like the market's just kind of, in limbo. Okay, we've now run and, the dip buyers won again kind of thing. What now?
Yeah, trying to find some direction. As you point out, NASDAQ was off 0.9 on Friday, whereas S&P only down 0.1. We'll leave it there. Preethi Radenhuis, founder at Herenia Capital Advisors, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Toby van Heerden. He is the CEO at 10X Investments. They had their fourth 10X South African Retirement Reality Report published earlier this month. Toby, appreciate the early morning. I mean, this is now your fourth year that you've done the report. The data is always, politely, I suppose we can call it sober. I mean, half of people simply not saving for retirement at all. Did we see a significant impact due to the pandemic over the last year? I mean, did it markedly worsen the trend, or has it just been sort of more of what we've seen over the previous years?
Thank you, Simon. COVID really put a spotlight on the whole retirement savings for the last 18 months, over the last 18 months for many South Africans. I mean, the biggest number increase we've seen is that 65% of people, that's a 20% increase from last year, aren't actually able to save at all. So you can really see that we're in dire straits at the moment.
Yeah, and that is very much a factor of our country, of our economy. You know, a third of our population is unemployed. We simply don't necessarily have people out there who have that sufficient cash for that sense of saving. A sense of also maybe some denial. I mean, one of the stats that really jumped out of me is that, 62% of people anticipating they can maintain their standard of living in retirement, yet simply they're not actually saving enough. So almost a sense of a kind of a hope and a prayer in many senses for their retirement.
Simon, you're spot on. That's one of the big conclusions that we came to. It's the sort of people waiting and wishing for a miracle that is not going to happen. Something, praying something will fall out of the sky.
Yeah, and more data what we saw as well there, which was, and we're struggling here a bit with the line, that the younger folks, those under 35, are saying, retiring before 60 is deeply achievable. Yet the over 50s are saying, only 4% of them expect to be able to. There's that disconnect. And I suppose it is when we're young and footloose and fancy free, that the reality of retirement is so incredibly foreign to that future.
And that's actually the time when you should be saving, Simon. I hope the line has improved.
Yeah.
Just a quick example. If you are 35 and you leave your employer, and let's say you've got 350,000 rand that you've saved, and you take that money in cash, that is worth, at retirement, 2.1 million rand that you could have had more. So it just shows you the power of accumulating from early on and how beneficial that could be at retirement.
Yeah, it is. And you call that replacement ratio. And I remember being young and leaving a job and thinking, small amount of money, a long time to go to retirement. You run the math and suddenly it becomes massive. One that really stood out to me, 41% of people simply don't know what fees they're paying. 15% say no fees at all. And with respect to that 15%, they probably are paying some fee. There is still in South Africa a lack of true understanding of the fees involved and the impact, and that is it. We have lost that line. The line not good there at all. No, trying to reconnect. We'll drop Toby for now. We've been struggling with that line. But it is a sense of fees are so incredibly important in the investment space, and we need to know what they are because they have a massive impact on what we're ultimately going to end up with. And the 41% who don't know what they're paying need to check because it might be too much. And if you think you're not paying a fee, you probably are. But here's our poll today, which we are asking on our Twitter and LinkedIn. Turning around that, how's your retirement plans going? I mean, are you on track and winning? Is it perhaps doing poorly? Or maybe it's a case of that actually you just think you simply can't. And retirement is something you would like, but perhaps simply not achievable. You can have your vote. You can have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles at MoneyWeb.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At StanLib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Varshan Maharaj from Allan Gray. Appreciate the early morning. A really fascinating note you sent out around farm emerging companies. And I want to get to the one in particular that you like in Bangladesh. But there's this little issue which I was completely unaware of. We're essentially an agreement that allows least developed countries to produce generic versions of patented products without needing that permission from the innovators. This really does create a massive opportunity for some of these pharma companies in these least, and I imagine, lesser developed markets as well.
Good morning, Simon. Thanks very much for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. I must say I'm a big fan of all of your shows.
Thank you.
Firstly, with Square Pharmaceuticals, why we like the company is, as you mentioned, there's an exemption from the patent laws, which I'll get into in a moment. And this exemption, combined with their low cost base, translates into high margins and good free cash flows. They've been the domestic market leader since 1985. Depending on the year, their market share ranges from 17 to 20%.
Wow.
And they've grown revenue at over 10% per annum in the last decade in US dollars, and we expect that to continue. And regulation favors local companies in these markets, and management have skin in the game. They own 35% of the company. They gave an update late last week, regarding their F2021 financial year,
mm-hmm.
where earnings are up 19% year on year. And it trades on an undemanding valuation. If you exclude net cash, they have about 21% of the market cap in net cash. Then it's trading on under 10 times earnings, which is a great multiple for a business of this quality. I'll just pause there. If you perhaps want me to speak a bit about the patent exemption, I can do that.
Yeah, and so the patent exemption, and I mean, there's some nuances to it. And in essence, it might actually disappear in the next 5 years or so. And that's because of the developed nation status as a least developed nation. But in your report, you say, you know what, this actually happened in India almost 20 years ago. And actually, it didn't have a significantly negative impact on the business. In a sense, they've kind of, I suppose, got that market share, got the production and sales distribution, and they can still utilize that for profitability.
Yes, that's a great summary. Just for context for your listeners, the exemption that we are referring to is the World Trade Organization Agreement on Trade-Related Intellectual Property Rights. Mm-hmm. And there is some uncertainty regarding this. For Square Pharmaceuticals in particular, this patent law exemption is expected to expire somewhere between 2026 and 2033. Mm-hmm. But it will only apply to products released after the date of graduation. So assuming that the exemption expires in 2028, the company will be permitted to produce products as they were without paying royalties for all the products released up until that date. And then royalties would only apply to products from the stage of graduation. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, in India, they had graduated in 2005, and many investors expected the earnings of these companies to collapse. But that wasn't the case. Since there were new patent protections, this served as an incentive for multinational corporations to invest in India. Mm-hmm. And this resulted in knowledge transfer and skills transfer. And those local companies were able to grow their export revenues significantly. And we've seen their earnings increase at a very steady pace since then. So the Bangladesh government is following similar steps as to what was done in India. Of course, there is execution risk, mm-hmm. but I would expect them to execute on this successfully.
Yeah, and if they can keep their existing, I mean, you make in your note, 80% of sales are generic products. They've got the base, and they can continue to sell that both within Bangladesh, which is, of course, a giant market in of itself, but I imagine they can sell it regionally at the same time.
That's correct. Another thing worth noting is in order to run the plants of this scale, you need to sell to a target market of at least 100 million people. Mm-hmm. So Bangladesh is fortunate in that their local population is somewhere in the order of 165 million. So when we look across frontier markets, there's really only a handful of companies that have this sort of scale, and only a few of them are listed. So there's several in Bangladesh, there's several in Pakistan, mm-hmm. one in Vietnam, a few in Egypt. So these are really scarce companies, which makes them more valuable.
Yeah, I get that point, absolutely. That's Square Pharmaceuticals, listed in Dhaka, Bangladesh. So you're going to go some digging around to find it. This isn't just sort of waltz into New York Stock Exchange. But we'll leave that there. Vishal Miraj, Alan Gray, appreciate the early morning time. That's it for the show today. A poll which we were asking you on Friday, we chatted with Adrian Saville, a great conversation around inflation. And we were looking at inflation, but we were also around inflation expectations. And I ended the interview with saying to him, you know, what about inflation a year down the line? How much higher, even if not 5%? And he said, why not 5%? Which was a chilling way to end the week. But the poll to you was, are you worried about inflation? A simple question and a simple answer. 70% of you said yes, 30% said no. I got to say, I was very much in the inflation is transitory, let's not worry about it camp, but I am rapidly shifting out of that camp. This inflation starts to become baked in. We talked about the Social Security cost of living increase, 5.9%, highest in 40 years. That creates expectation, not only for, you know, spending the money, but also for what you're going to get next year. Inflation is I think, looming. And then, of course, what does the Fed do with rate increases? Do they pull that into 2022 rather than 2023? As always, have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app 6. 5:30 a.m. Podcast available, website and app. But of course, wherever good podcasts are aggregated, that goes live just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Nicole, Eddie, Nabuchle, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.